Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Hey, welcome back to the Hardline, 5-9 The Fan Cave, and that's 5-9TheFan.com. We are at Schnucks out off Lime Ferry Road. Come hang out with us. This place pretty stinking good. We've been here all day long, and I think the shows before us were a little happier than us. We are, we're not that happy, but we'll get through it. I think we will. SLU headed the wrong direction. Mizzou headed the wrong direction in multiple sports, and it's not their fault. It is Yolanda Kumar. Is that her name? I hate her. It's her fault. And she shouldn't have cheated for them in the first place, and she certainly wasn't directed by anybody to do it. So if you have not been paying attention, of course.
How was she getting paid? By the individuals? Pay for her tutoring?
She wasn't getting paid.
At all?
No. That's why she was demanding or trying to sell her stuff for $3,000. She tried to sell information on this for $3,000. So that's where they are. It's a really bad situation overall To be completely honest, and the NCAA totally mishandled it, and that's what the appeals process is for, and I hope they take it seriously, reevaluate, realize that they screwed this up, and they go back. Because if they just took away the bowl ban, everybody could live with it.
Mm-hmm.
What you can't do is set a precedent like you did with North Carolina and then come do this and lay the hammer on somebody who did. This is 5% of what North Carolina did. I mean, it is that stark of a difference. North Carolina created a fake class, had a secretary grade the papers, meaning, hey, you put B, but I know you meant C. So
yeah.
Let's roll with that.
Right.
And they said, yeah, but everybody benefited. Okay, how do you know she wasn't tutoring other students and doing their work too? How about now? Now everybody benefited. Are we off?
It's crazy. It's crazy.
That's the logic. So we're not in a super happy place, but let's talk about our friends at Royal Banks.
Royal Banks in Missouri. You know, we've been going all over town with our remotes to the various Schnuck stores and having a great time. Well, Royal Banks is all over town, too. You know, a year or so ago, they expanded and now have 11 branches. 11 branches. Oh, they're getting to be a big bank. Well, they're big, which gives them allows them to have great effect in helping you out. But at each branch, it feels like your own neighborhood bank. And that's the feeling Royal Banks wants you to have, because they're in it for you. They want to help you achieve your financial goals. And to prove it, let's use an example, home equity line. That's what I have with Royal Banks, and it has been wonderful. It can work that way for you, too. Let all the work that you've put into your home now work for you when you need it most. Carol Hofer is our lending pro. She's fantastic over at Royal Banks in Missouri. Give her a call, 314-212-1500, and Carol will show you the kinds of home equity lines and products that are available for you and see what fits. That's what Royal Banks wants to do. Find the product that helps you achieve your financial goals. Talking about Royal Banks of Missouri. Royal Banks, where better service means better banking. Member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Good stuff. Do love our friends over there as always. Rock, did you have a chance to watch the Mizzou game? And as I asked you that question, I know the answer because I saw you tweeting unhappy things.
Yeah, and then as most of my tweets are wont to do from now and then, they went from unhappy to downright ridiculous by the end of it. That was a hard one. I came in late in the first half when the game was kind of already slipping away, and then I watched the majority of the second half where they were taking every shot they wanted and making every shot they were taking. It felt like, I mean, they took like 40 threes. It felt like they made half of them. They made 16 of them, which wasn't bad. So yeah, that was a rough one. It's just, even when before the game got away, you could just tell that Mizzou really wasn't playing with them, and that's disappointing considering it's not a great year for Auburn so far.
Auburn's actually pretty good. They're going to make the tournament, but yes, they're not as good as they were last year. Certainly, last year they had a tie to win the SEC.
I wasn't expecting to win the game, but I certainly wasn't expecting Mizzou to get drowned by 40 points.
You know, the thing is, Missouri typically plays with everyone for the first 15 minutes of every game. It's unique. They never get blown out of the building to start the game. And we've watched good Missouri teams get blown out of the building and have to try to play catch-up. This team is usually ready to play. They're scrappy. Jeremiah Tillman is playing fairly aggressive early in the game, and he he played a good game last night. He's actually, over the last four games or so, done really well staying out of foul trouble and being efficient.
Yeah.
But Kevin Puryear's worthless. He has been absolutely putrid. KJ Santos, he played 6 minutes last night for good reason. He's not been very good. He started to get an uptick in minutes for a bit, but he has come back down. And you're playing guys like Suggs. Suggs shouldn't be out there. Everybody knows he doesn't belong out there. He'll play some defense for you, but he can't shoot. He's an absolute liability offensively. And
speaking of shooting the ball, you ever seen a guy shoot the ball? Bobby has a game where nothing's falling. He just can't get it going. But that in no way stops him from taking immediately the next shot that comes up. That was Torrance Watson last night.
And shoot.
There was a point where I respected the fact that I'm pretty sure he opened up a stretch 0-for-9, and as soon as he caught the next ball with the slightest amount of daylight on the wing, he jacked another three. And I'm like, you know what?
Did he make it?
No, he didn't.
Oh. I thought there was going to be a good ending to this story.
I don't know what his actual line ended at, but he could have missed every shot he'd taken, and it didn't feel like at any point was the green disappearing. Like, he was looking up and just seeing green light no matter where he was in the court, no matter what the score was. And a closer game, it would have made me furious. But that game was so out of reach, I was just chuckling along with the fact that it didn't hold him back at all.
Shooter's going to shoot.
I guess so.
I'm totally fine with that, to be honest with you.
As long as they're good shots, as long as you're not taking shots out of the offense, and or when teammates could have a better look.
You must have missed the game. They don't have an offense.
Yeah, this I was going to say, it wasn't
come
actually.
On.
So Jeremiah Tillman should be out shots. There for 40 minutes a game if he can be. I know obviously that's – but he obviously is a really, really good player, especially when he's playing aggressively and staying out of foul trouble. Jordan Geist is going to be who he is. He can give you spurts of
up
really good, but he's going to be a little bit inconsistent, and he's not very good at the end of games. Mark Smith is – Jordan Geist, by the way, is still your best player. But Mark Smith, when he's healthy, should be out there, certainly.
I'm going to slightly disagree, but you've watched more than me. I think when Mark Smith is healthy, he's the best player.
Yeah, he doesn't give you as much defensively, and he also
does. That's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I don't think he facilitates an offense. He's a stopper in a good way. He shoots it, and he makes it, and that's good. Jordan Geist actually creates. Now, Rock will make the argument that Mark Smith has not been given that chance, and maybe both you guys are right about that.
But to this point, I see what you're saying. The thing I like about Smith is – And I'm not in a position to judge his defense, but I like that he'll go rebound as well.
Yes, that's
a lot of shooters will say, I'm doing my thing. I'm out here 20 feet away and go get the rebound. But he'll go get rebounds, and I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Torrance Watson needs to be out there. I like that he's aggressive. This is a kid who averaged 31 points a game as a senior in high school. The kid can score.
Yeah,
he hadn't worked yet here, but he can score.
He went 3-for-12 last night, 2-of-8 from deep. Not as bad as I honestly would have felt like it was. But like again, I didn't have a huge issue with it. Xavier Pinson is the other thing I wanted to talk about. He played 27 minutes, which was the third most on the team behind the aforementioned Torrance Watson and Jordan Geist.
And how did he perform? Because he's your pet guy.
He's making mistakes. Bottom line, this team turns the ball over an insane amount.
Yeah.
He had 6 turnovers to just 4 assists. Obviously, you don't want to see it that way. I do want to say that at least 2 of those turnovers were plays where the guy just had the ball hit him in the hands and they just kind of flubbed it, which it's hard to blame that. But the fact that he's out there down by 30 points and he's finding ways to get Reed Nico open for lobs at the rim, I love that. I like the ability of this guy because they haven't had a true point guard in this, a true one point guard in this way for the last 2 or 3 years. And so I like what I'm seeing. I made a joke yesterday. I said, let him play 40 minutes and throw 25 lobs. Obviously, I'd reached the point where they were down by 40, and I was being a little ridiculous. But that's kind of the truth. I kind of want them to take the reins off him and say, hey, listen, you're a
Watson
freshman.
And
go
Pinson
make some mistakes.
Watson need to be playing and playing a
yes,
ton
let
at
them make,
this point.
Let them play out their kinks. And listen, I know there's always the risk when you let players play on bad teams that they're going to develop bad habits. But at this point, I'm okay with potentially taking the risk of these guys developing
that
to the point where next year.
That only applies, Rock, when you have an offensive strategy. When you
listen,
don't.
And here's the thing. I thought, and this has kind of been, yesterday I was looking at this a lot because we talked about it. It supported what I thought, which is Mizzou, in their first play set, actually has some good sets. They get guys open. They have a lot of good stuff where they use Tillman as a screener, and it allows a guy to get an open shot, and it also allows Tillman to get his man off balance and allow him to get position. The problem is, as soon as the guy catches it, and if they don't go down to Tillman, or even if they do go down to Tillman, I should say, now where's the secondary movement?
That's right.
It's not there, and that's disappointing because the first sets are good basic sets that are getting shooters the ball.
But you just said it.
Spot you want.
They're
but there's
basic
no
sets.
Second set. And that's where you get defenders off balance, where you get defenders hustling or hustling to help defense, and you open things up.
So you just said it. It's a basic set to start with. And when you're playing in a basic set and Jeremiah Tillman still can't roll to the basket, you are so limited in what you can do. The basic set is this. He sets a screen, and then he posts a guy up. There's never any creativity to what happens. It's not, hey – I've never seen Jeremiah Tillman pop out to the three-point line, swinging around, and then go get a shot for Mark Smith in the corner. That doesn't happen either. What it is he sets a screen, and then he goes and posts up. You try to get one guy off balance, and that's fine, but what happens when you have some help side defense, and now Jordan Geist, let's dribble the corner and chuck it up.
And I want to see if he was actually on there. He was there for three turnovers. I saw at least two where the lack of movement after they gave it down to Tillman on the low block allowed Auburn defenders to swipe at the ball while he was trying to get positioning. If you guys have guys moving around screens, the ability for help defenders just to come off and swipe away at the ball is mitigated slightly. That was just something I saw, that the lack of movement when Tillman gets the ball in the low post is something that directly contributed to him getting two balls swiped away from him yesterday.
Certainly Tillman is not the problem
and
here.
He
is limited offensively, and he's really limited past 10 feet. If I ever see him take a 15-footer, I'm not real encouraged about that. However, he's not your problem. Your problem is exactly what you said, Rock, that there is no secondary, and your primary is so basic offensively that if it's not done perfectly and you don't just outman the guys, it's like, you know, when I'm trying to think of who the receiver that used to do this. At Mizzou, guys would do it all the time, but there's a pro receiver that would certainly do it. And I can't remember who it is. He'd say, I'm about to run a slant. Good luck. And then he'd go run a slant, and he'd get open and score a touchdown.
Chad Johnson would do that.
Maybe it was Chad. Yeah, Chad, you're right. Chad, and he, in fact, then you're playing head games with somebody.
He did it a lot with curl routes because he was great at them.
So that's what you're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm going to run over here. Then I'm going to post you up, and we're just better than you. So mm-hmm. then I'm going to dunk it. But what happens when you're not better than them? Because Jeremiah Tillman, as good as he is not nearly the best big man in the SEC. He's not the best big man in the country. He's just good, and he's got a pretty good ceiling. And when he can stay on the floor, he gives Missouri a chance. What he doesn't do, he's not Azubuike, right, who is injured this year. That dude could take over a game. And when he was right last year, Kansas had a real chance of doing anything.
Some other big basketball news is breaking right now, guys. While we were talking about Mizzou and everything like that, the NBA – structure was kind of shifting. Everything we're talking about, Anthony Davis, all he wants to go to the Lakers. Randomly earlier today, about 3 hours ago, the story broke that Kristaps Porzingis told the New York media told the New York Knicks that he was tired of the dysfunction and the losing in the franchise. He wants something stable, and that if they're not going to put it together, they might trade him. Mark Stein and Adrian Wojnarowski are now reporting 3 hours later that the Dallas Mavericks have all but finalized a trade to the New York Knicks for Kristaps Porzingis. They'll be and Tim Hardaway and Courtney Lee mostly take their big contracts along. Dennis Smith, DeAndre Jordan, Wes Matthews, and a pick go to the Knicks. So this all materialized literally afternoon.
So what does that do for the Mavericks?
It gives them next year when if Porzingis comes back healthy, it gives them Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis, and a lot of cap space in the city of Dallas.
It's a start.
Yes.
What it does for the Knicks is they're creating two max salary slots for next summer.
Mm-hmm.
This, according to Brian Windhorst, who's on top of everything, he says when they started, they didn't even have space for one. They're going to swing big next year. That is what they're trying to do. Now,
the New York Knicks are funny because the perception of them is that because of the New York Knicks, they've been this staple of NBA basketball for years. Well, in actuality, you go through NBA history, and the Knicks have been good for a very minute period of NBA history. And so it's kind of funny that they have this you know, locked-in sense of history because of MSG and because they're New York and because of Willis Reed.
The few times you got the Willis Reed run, and then you had the thug ball run with Pat Riley.
Which almost ruined the NBA.
But it was kind of fun to watch.
It was.
Unless you were really rooting for
the team
to play against them.
Unless you were trying to put a layup in against Charles Oakley and Patrick Ewing, then it wasn't fun. And Anthony Bonner.
And they don't even like Charles Oakley anymore. He fights in the garden. You're not allowed to do that.
That's very true. So they have agreed
unless you're on the court.
So Adrian Wojnarowski says that New York has agreed to the trade I spelled earlier again. Kristaps Porzingis, the main part of the trade. the 7'3 guy with the ACL injury that he's still recovering from, and then Courtney Lee and Tim Hardaway Jr., who are two guards with big contracts. They will go to the Dallas Mavericks for Wes Matthews, Dennis Smith Jr., their top 10 pick from 2 years ago, and DeAndre Jordan. Players and agents are being notified. Deal may include more draft assets. The entire Knicks fan base is screaming to the high heavens right now.
Of course they are, until they get two max slots next year and they'll be in a much better mood. They'll be in a better mood than us, Rock.
They've been preparing to sign a big free agent for a decade now, and their biggest one is Amari Stoudemire and his broken knees.
It's Melo.
They traded for him. He wasn't a free agent.
No, you're good point. Okay, you're right. But they have had players, bottom line. They've had big-name players there, and they'll find a way to go get one if they need one. Okay, let's recap today what we're mad about. You're mad about SLU because they have no depth.
We've lost three in a row, and it's frustrating.
Yes, and they lost to a 7-win Richmond team. Not great. Rock is mad about Missouri basketball because he loves basketball, and they're not fun to watch. I am mad about everything. Missouri has been given a 3-year probation from the NCAA because of Yolanda Kumar, who's a tutor who went rogue and decided to do homework for 12 student-athletes over three different sports, baseball, softball, and football. And because of that, there is a postseason ban for all three of those sports. There is a $5,000 fine. 1% of each of those sports' budgets will be fined. And there are all sorts of smaller bans as far as reduction in official visits and scholarships and things like that. We have such an issue with it because side-by-side with the North Carolina case, which they actually cited in the report, this is about 5% of what that was. It is going to be appealed. The statement from Jim Sterk reads as such. Once these issues were brought to our attention in November 2016, the university moved swiftly and fully cooperated with the NCAA enforcement staff to jointly investigate the allegations that were made. We are shocked and dismayed by the penalties that have been imposed today and will aggressively fight for what is right.
And you'll be hearing more from Jim Sterk and the Chancellor, Alexander Cartwright, as they'll be having a conference call at 3:35.
Oh,
so I would suggest getting on Twitter. I don't think Frank's going to be amenable to
Frank.
That. But if you want to get on Twitter, follow Gabe DeArmond, follow Dave Matter. They're great as always for the Mizzou News. I'm sure they will be
tweeting
on any
call.
And all. Yeah, if I were you,
How do I get on that?
We text Mizzou's media department and they give you the phone number.
Yeah, I might do that. I'll be in a car riding the way home.
It's perfect for it.
So, anyway, to recap, Schnucks is awesome, and that's where we are right now.
They are, and you should come by this Saturday. They're going to have this big event. They're going to have Gus's Pretzels here. They're going to have a big liquor spread. They're going to have games for the kids so that you can bring them by. You can enjoy the liquor. They can enjoy the games.
So kids and liquor.
Of course, exactly.
That's right.
Combination. This
is how we've always done it in the Midwest. So come by on Saturday afternoon here at Schnucks Lee May, 10:32. It's going to be a great time, great food, great events, great for everybody.
To clarify, it doesn't start at 10:32. It's 10:32 Lee May Ferry Road.
Yes.
And that'll be this Saturday. You'll see the Giant Arch. Can't miss it. So to recap again, Schnucks, awesome. NCAA, sucks. Is that about summing up for the day?
Yes.
I think that was mostly our conversation. And, you know, tomorrow there's a baseball show that Bob Ramsey's going to be a part of.
We haven't talked much about it between us. But,
starts at 1 o'clock.
With Jimmy Huer and Brian Hoffman. I think we'll probably talk about
Bryce Harper to the Padres. Maybe. He was meeting with them today.
I think we might, if there's some news. I think we'll talk about the new Cardinal inductees. It's announced later today, isn't it, Rock? In 1 minute it's announced?
No
I know. I'm kidding. we just got a message. So we'll talk about that because I had my two picks, and we'll see. I don't think mine will go, but we'll see. We'll talk about it
tomorrow. Do you always vote for the wrong guys? Or why aren't people smart enough to vote for the right guys?
That's the right angle.
Thank you.
There you go. Thanks, buddy.
I can always fix it.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy. Well, that'll be good. Yeah, there's six guys up for the St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Fame, which that is always a lot of fun. You know, the Cardinals, while you may not love baseball, the Cardinals do so many things
move
to keep it interesting.
Don't. Move away.
Oh, don't kick me out
of
the
city. Does that mean?
Rammer, do not kick me out of the city.
No, before this is over, you're either going to never, ever watch a baseball game again, or you're gonna be a hardcore nerd like me.
All right, I'm into being a nerd. Cam already thinks I'm a nerd. Hey, we got to go. Frank Penny, Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Coming up next, then that Cam Jansen program tonight is going to be here Schnucks.
Damn right.
Bam. Matt Rackey will be here doing that. So you guys enjoy your evening. Missouri needs to appeal this thing. We will all fight for justice. See ya.